Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Over the years, I'm sure most of you have heard me talk about how our office celebrates birthdays, right? The birthday honoree gets to order a dessert from any dessert place of their choosing. I mean, any dessert place of their choosing. And FYI, it works out pretty great for the non-birthday honorees also, because we get to order desserts from the place to share in their celebration, right? And so usually sometime after lunch, sometime kind of in the middle of the afternoon, we'll gather in the common area of the office to sing happy birthday to the birthday honoree. FYI, the Stevie Wonder version only is permitted to be sung in our office. So we sing the Stevie Wonder version of Happy Birthday, right? And then after the song, the tradition is that we ask the honoree, the birthday guest, to offer us some quote-unquote words of wisdom now that they're 1 year older. Well, this week, the birthday guest of honor said something that literally just stopped me in my tracks. The birthday honoree said, "Believe the promise, trust the process." Wow. Let me repeat that. Believe the promise, trust the process. And after I got my quick shout on, and I really did, I couldn't stop thinking about this particular individual's words of wisdom. Believe the promise, trust the process. And then my mind just began to race through scripture. And the first one that popped into my head was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, a very familiar text from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And as believers, the long and the short of it is that we need to trust God with all of our hearts, right? And all literally means all. There is no other definition. There is no other meaning, but all means all. It means not leaving any parts where we are depending on our own understanding, right? Trust. Trust is truly depending on God. It's not saying, quote, "God, I trust you with what I want you to do," but it's saying, quote, God, I trust you with what you want to do," end quote, right? And so we can trust God because he has credibility. What does that mean? Well, stop for a moment. It means that God has been faithful, and not just to us and not just to this generation, but if we look back through the annals of history since the time Adam and Eve were on this planet, God has been faithful to every single generation that has walked the face of the earth. And so God has to oftentimes take us through a process to prepare us for the blessings that God has for us. Let me repeat that. God sometimes has to take us through a process to prepare us for the blessings that God has for us. Because at the end of the day, the blessings that God have for us are not just for us. God is at work doing something much greater. And so we must trust the process, right? And so the process may seem tough at times, but in the end, the goal is greater than anything we can ever imagine. I want to repeat that. The process may seem tough at times. Let me say that a different way. The process actually is tough at times, but in the end, the goal is oftentimes greater than anything we can think or imagine. And so I want to just share one little, the Lord reminded me of this even after I had written my podcast out. The Lord reminded me of how we, my family, ended up in Atlanta. And so one of my goals, and we moved from New York, and one of my goals was to have a house for my kids and my wife before the age of 30, right? And so that's been some years ago now. But we had this co-op, and that's a new, anybody from New York knows a thing, a co-op, what a co-op is. So it's an apartment that you really don't own the land or anything. You just own the stuff in it, right? And so we had this co-op, but I really wanted a house for my family. So we had found this house in Westchester County, and we put our money down on it, and the debt to equity ratios were great, and all was good, and we did not get the house. I was devastated. I was angry. I wanted to sue the lender, and I wanted to sue the real estate agent, because I still to this day believe that they redlined us. In other words, they prohibited this young black couple from getting this house in this swank neighborhood in northern Westchester County. But nonetheless, I digress. But so fast forward a year after we didn't get the house, we wound up in Atlanta. And the Lord said to me, as I was in the balcony of a church in Lithonia, the Lord said, "You think you chose Atlanta, but I called you here because your destiny and the destiny of your family is tied into you coming here to the Atlanta area." And so again, here it is 30 plus years later, and God has been great and faithful. And I can't even begin to speak of all the wondrous blessings that God brought through us and has done in and through my life and in through my family's life. But had I not been disappointed in New York, I would have never come into my destiny here in the Atlanta area. So anyway, at times though, opportunities that may seem beneficial may present themselves to us, but we must ask God, is this what you want for me? You heard me tell you in my testimony, I wanted a house for my family by the time I reached the age of 30. And the question I never asked God, is this the house? Is this the place? But anyway, mature believers trust God through turbulent times. And the question becomes, when you're going through the rough times, are you trusting? Am I trusting? Are we trusting God in the turbulent times? And another example that came to my mind was Judges chapter 7. Some of you already know the story, but it's the story of Gideon when Gideon was preparing an army to defeat the Midianites. God told Gideon to get rid of, you ready? God told Gideon to get rid of 99.0625% of his men. I'm going to tell you what that looks like in a minute. But I love that, because God told Gideon to get rid of 99.0625% of his men. What does that mean? That means 32,000 warriors showed up when they were getting ready to do battle. And God said to Gideon, if these 32,000 men defeat the Midianites, they'll take the credit for this victory, and they will turn away from me because they think they did it in their own strength. So the Lord tells Gideon, tell whoever is fearful and afraid that they can leave. Guess what? 22,000 men, 22,000 quote unquote warriors left just by Gideon saying to them, hey, if you're fearful or afraid, you can leave. And that meant that there were still 10,000 men left. And God said to Gideon, that's still way too many for what I need to do. And so God gave Gideon some additional instructions to help separate out the ones who would stay and the ones who, again, would be allowed to leave. And at the end of the day, many of you know the story, Gideon was left with 300 men. Now, again, I want to remind you, he started out with 32,000 men, and he ended up with 300 men. And I just love this. So for my mathematicians and my logical people in the audience, right, this means that Gideon was left with 0.9375% of the original army he started out with. That's right. Less than 1% of the original army that he started out with. Gideon was left with 300 men. That means that 31,700 men left, and he was left with 300, right? Anyway, mind-boggling. So come on now, you gotta be thinking that it had to have been difficult for Gideon to trust God when it made no logical sense in the natural. Lord, how are we going to go to battle with 300 men? But we see in verse 3 that the 22,000 men were afraid. And I don't know about you, but what soldiers would, I mean, I'm talking about soldiers for real, were turned back just by somebody asking, are you afraid? And here's the other thing. I know I certainly wouldn't want those soldiers to be with me in battle if just by me asking you the question, are you afraid? Or me telling you, okay, if you're afraid, you can turn back and you leave. So sometimes, here it is, family, sometimes God will separate us from people we think are with us but are actually not, just so God can show us who's really with us. And so also that God can let us know that, hey, I'm with you, and that we can put our trust in God and God alone and not in the people who are around us. And so I believe that God is asking us today, do you trust me? I mean, do you really trust me? And here it is, family. He doesn't need us to understand everything that he does. And let's get for real right here. When things get tough, when things don't go our way, when life throws us a curve, when we're disappointed, this is when we ask God the, what I call the Lord why questions, right? Lord, why? Why did you allow me to get cancer? Lord, why did you allow me to get sick? Lord, why did you allow my marriage to fall apart? Lord, why did I lose my job? Lord, why did I not get into this school? Lord, why is my spouse, or why did you allow my spouse or my dad, or why did you allow my mom, or why did you allow my best friend, or why did you allow my child, and you name it, to die, right? Lord, why did you allow my child to go to prison? Lord, you get the idea. This is where we ask all of the Lord, back before we came to Atlanta. Lord, why didn't you allow us to get the house in Westchester County? But here it is, family. God desires for us to put our complete trust in him, even when we don't understand, even when it's painful, even when it doesn't make logical sense to us. And so we see in Judges, this Gideon chapter, in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, we see that even before the battle began, Gideon and his army were already victorious. Why? Because God had promised them the victory. And so, family, you see, when they knew that they were victorious from the beginning, it gave them a confidence to follow through with the battle. And since God has promised victory to us, since we know the end, come on, family, we know the end result right now from the beginning. We know the end. We know we're victorious. Why? Because the word tells us, and I'm going to get to it in just a moment, but how much more anticipation, how much more expectation, how much more confidence should we have towards God when God has already given us the victory, when God has already told us, here is the end. Yes, right? Yes, what we're going through is difficult. We don't take that away. Yes, what we're going through is painful. Yes. Yes, there are days we wake up and we feel like giving up. We feel like throwing in the towel. We feel like we can't take another moment. We can't take another step. We can't take it anymore. But my brothers and my sisters, in those moments, in those times, and in those seasons, that's when we need to be reminded of what God has promised us. We can look at Romans 8, verses 35 through 37 in the New King James Version. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. My Living Epistle family, at the end of the day, the process that we go through, it's not just about us, nor is it just for us. You see, let's go back to Judges chapter 7. Through Gideon's victory, not only was Gideon's army, those 300 men, victorious, but all of Israel, an entire nation, was liberated from Midianite oppression because the Lord had made a promise to Gideon and his army, his 300 men. And so you see, my family, my brothers and my sisters, my Living Epistle family, we must trust God through the process, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how painful, right? We still have to be reminded, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors, that God has given us the victory, right? And so here it is. So when we trust God in the process, when we trust God in the process, it sets others free to trust God too. What do I mean by that? Others see what we're going through and they marvel. They wonder, they speculate, they're asking themselves, how can they still have a smile on their face and joy in their heart? And how can they be so concerned about me and my troubles and my struggles and what I'm going through, and knowing, and I'm knowing what they're facing, and I'm knowing the battle, and I'm knowing the struggle that's going on in their lives? My brothers and my sisters, this is the perfect opportunity for us to tell them about a soul saving, a heart mending, a blind eye opening, a captive freeing, life giving Savior, who is none other than Jesus the Christ. Because I'm so reminded of the Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But I'm reminded of them when they went into the furnace and then they came out, and Nebuchadnezzar was amazed at the fact that their clothes, their garments didn't even have the smell of smoke. In other words, what is he saying? What is he saying? What that's reminding us is my brothers and my sisters, that when we come out of the trials, when we come out of the fires and the process that God has us in, that we don't look like, we don't smell like, we don't feel like what we've been through. Because God has been with us in the process. God has promised us the victory. Man, when this individual said that at the birthday celebration, it so resonated with me that I wanted to share it with you, that we must believe the promise, but we must trust the process. Remember, family, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.